Last week we handed this out, this little flyer, and just devotions for each day of the Holy Week, which ends today. And so I've asked what we would have prayed for on Monday and on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. We have a different person that's going to come up and lead us in that. And then I'm going to have a little something to say, and then we'll come to the Lord's table after that. So, Kurt, if you want to come, please. And I'll remind everybody, if we can be close to the center. Yeah, that'd be great.
Good evening. So, I don't know, I'm going to be brief, but certain words, or when somebody says something or I read something, I get taken back to something else. My mind is in something else. Tonight, when we saw that last one, the last name of that last song, I forgot what it was. No, it's what? Tremble. Yeah, Tremble. The name of it's Tremble. Golly. Senior moment, sorry. Tremble. So what I thought of is the Lion King. You know, when these evil hyenas thought about Mufasa, who's the king, they'd go, ooh, Mufasa, ooh. And I immediately thought of, ooh, Jesus, ooh. Anyway, I'm back. So Monday, greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The precious Lord Jesus is our friend. Oh, let us seek to realize this. He is our friend. He's our brother, born of adversity, the one who sticks closer than a brother, who will never leave nor forsake us. He is willing not merely to grant this for a few moments or a year or two, but to the very end of our earthly pilgrimage. David in Psalms 23 says, oh, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Oh, how precious is this, for this lovely one is coming again, and soon. Soon he will come again, and then he will take us home, and there we shall be forever with him. Oh, how precious is that bright and glorious prospect. Here again, the practical point is to appropriate this to ourselves. He is coming to take me, poor, guilty, worthless, hell-deserving me. He is coming to take me to himself. And to the degree in which we enter into these glorious things, the joys of heaven have already commenced. And then the verse is Romans 5, 6 to 11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That would be you and me. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone might dare to even die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. And for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more have we been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. When I was thinking about this week, I'm thinking about the cross. And Jesus wasn't the only one there. There was two enemies on either side. They were criminals. And on the cross, Jesus reached out to both of them. One made fun of him, and the other cried out, "Lord, remember me." You and I are just as guilty. We should be hanging there beside him. What are we going to do with that? Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. So, Lord, we just thank you for your love. Thank you that you loved us while we were still hostile towards you, while we were still enemies towards you. You loved us and wanted to reconcile us to yourself. So that all we have to do is say, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Let's be that one. Let's be that criminal, that one deserving of death, that we say, Lord, remember me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your death that enables us to be reconciled unto you. Nothing that we could ever do, but you did it all. You did it all. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
So I'm going to read Tuesday's highlighted verse and then also the reflection. The reading for Tuesday is from Romans 6, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." This reflection is from Stomi O'Martian, and she wrote, "When Jesus died on the cross, he also rose from the dead to break the power of death over anyone who receives his life. Jesus conquered death, whether at the end of life or in the multiple ways that we face death daily, in the death of our dreams, finances, health, or relationships. Jesus can bring his life to resurrect any dead place in us. Therefore, we don't have to feel hopeless. He also gives everyone who opens up to him a quality of life that is meaningful, abundant, and fulfilling. He transcends our every limitation and boundary and enables us to do things we would never have been capable of aside from him. He is the only one who can give us life before death as well as life hereafter. Without him, we die a little every day. With him as our Savior, we become more and more alive." So the verses that I was highlighted to pray are Romans 8, 31 through 39. So I've just basically kind of written out a prayer that sort of condenses those verses. So let me just read this. Father, thank you for your word and for the words of Paul in Romans 8 as he reminds us that you provide ultimate security. Verse 31 of Romans 8 says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" I pray that each of us absorbs the enormity of that statement. Again, if God is for us, who can be against us? That we would each absorb the enormity of that statement, that each of us knows that absolutely no one can succeed against those whom God calls his own. Verse 32 tells us that God gave his only son for us, and he, God, freely gives us all things necessary for salvation. He didn't withhold his treasured son, but he gave him freely for all of us. Thus, he won't withhold anything else he has to give. He gives us ultimate security. That is just amazing. Thank you, Father, for your generous mercy and grace. Verses 33 and 34, Paul tells us there is no condemnation, and I have that in bold here on this paper, no condemnation because God declares us as believers to be blameless and puts us in right relationship with himself. Christ Jesus is the one who paid our penalty and now sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us nonstop. Thank you that no charge brought against us will be successful. We are always given a not guilty verdict in God's court. Father, thank you for this amazing gift and help each of us to grasp the magnificence of this verse, that there is no condemnation, and because of the risen Jesus who intercedes for us, we are pronounced not guilty, not just sometimes, but always. Hallelujah. Verses 35 to 39. Thank you, Father, that we can have confidence in this. Nothing, troubles, pressures, problems, persecutions, and dangers, nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. And in verse 37, thank you, Father, that we are described as more than conquerors. We, as God's children, don't just survive hardships. We gain total victory through Christ's love, even while facing suffering. Thank you, Father, that you go with us through those spots, and Jesus is our most ardent advocate and supporter. Father, the words thank you seem so weak when compared to all that you've provided for us, but it's the best we humans have. Help all who call on your name to live our lives in the light and remembrance of the promises you've laid out in these verses. Help us to remember that you are the ultimate security. You are for us. We are not condemned. We can count on your unbreakable love, and we are more than conquerors in all of life's situations. Thank you for your amazing love for each of us and for the generous gift of your treasured Son, Jesus. Amen.
Wednesday, Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. We're not asked to trust in a dead Jesus, but in one who, though he died for our sins, has risen again for our justification. You may go to Jesus at once as to a living and present friend. He's not a mere memory, but a continually existent person who will hear your prayers and answer them. Amen. He lives on purpose to carry on the work for which he once laid down his life. He is interceding for sinners at the right hand of the Father, and for this reason, he's able to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by him. Come and try this living Savior if you have never done this before. This living Jesus is also raised to an eminence of glory and power. He does not now sorrow as a humble man before his foes, nor does he labor as a carpenter's son, but rather he is exalted far above the principalities and power and every name that is named. The Father has given him all power in heaven and in earth, and he exercises this high endowment in carrying out his work of grace. Charles H. Spurgeon. Point of prayer is from Colossians 1:13 through 20. Father God, thank you that you, Lord God, rescued us from the domain of darkness, and you have transferred us to the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Father, thank you that Jesus is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure, Lord, it was your good pleasure, for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Lord, thank you that we as your people have peace with God the Father, with you, Heavenly Father. We have peace through the blood of the cross, through your Son Jesus. We thank you.
I'm Thursday. Mark 16:3, they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? The women who had been so faithfully vigilant at the cross during the long hours of Jesus' suffering returned together first thing Sunday morning to complete the embalming process that Joseph and Nicodemus had hastily done late Friday afternoon. Their voices could be heard in the brisk early morning air as they discussed the problem of who would roll the stone away. They knew it would be impossible for them to accomplish, even if all of them pushed together. What stone, what obstacle is ahead of you that you might think you can't move or get around that blocks you from fulfilling your commitment to the Lord? Is it the stone of financial limitations, practical inexperience, physical weakness? If we steadfastly cling to our faith in him, persevering in our commitment to him, he will roll away the stones for us. Anne Graham Lotz. I'm praying Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. I'm not reading it, I'm praying it. Precious Lord, we praise you tonight for the invitation in Hebrews 10 into a rich intimacy with you. Not only is the stone already rolled away, but we enter boldly into your presence. Because your resurrection tore open the veil and welcomed your children into direct access to you, we stand unwavering in our confidence of your promises because he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Sometimes you allow us, Lord, to see the fulfillment of those promises. Sometimes we have to wait for your timing to see your fulfillment. But we know that we know that we know that he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Thank you, Lord.
I'm Friday, although I've never met Robinson Crusoe. Ask your parents, they'll tell you. From Isaiah the prophet, you have cast all my sins behind your back. And then this is meant from Billy Graham. We shall never understand the extent of God's love in Christ at the cross until we understand that we shall never have to stand before the judgment of God for our sins. All our sins, without exception, were placed on Christ, and he took the judgment we deserve. He finished the work of redemption. Once while crossing the North Atlantic in a ship, I looked out my porthole, and when I got up in the morning and saw one of the blackest clouds I had ever seen, I ordered my breakfast, sent to my room, and spoke to the steward about the storm. He said, oh, we've already come through that storm. It's behind us. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have already come through the storm of judgment. It happened at the cross. Don't be bound by your guilt or your fears any longer, but realize that sin's penalty has already been paid by Christ completely and fully. And the reading's from Psalm 103, which is a psalm of David. It's kind of unusual for David because David often is talking about the issues he's going through. He's complaining, or he's undergoing persecution, or he's talking about some circumstance in this life. Psalm 103 is all about Yahweh, his relationship to Yahweh, and Israel's relationship to Yahweh. And I was actually praying and reading in Ephesians 1 this morning, and I was kind of surprised how those two passages kind of correlate together. And Moses received the revelation from God that Yahweh is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Moses received that. David repeats that. Jonah, Joel, Nehemiah, they all repeat that self-revelation from God of who he is. John passed out the creeds a couple of weeks ago from the early church. And if there was a creed in the Old Testament, this might be it. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. But just as Moses received that revelation, Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. And he says, you need to receive a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation to understand the things that I just wrote to you about and the things I'm going to write to you about. And I'd just like us to pause for a minute. I'm just going to ask the Lord that he would impart to us tonight and through this weekend the spirit of wisdom and revelation so we can truly understand these things, so we can have fresh revelation about these things. We can see these things in ways that we've never seen before. We can hear things in the way that we haven't heard them before. We can be impacted in the way that we've not been impacted before. So God our Father, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, we who are gathered here tonight ask you, as Paul did for the Ephesians 2,000 years ago, Lord, that you would give to us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you, that we might know you better. We just receive that from you tonight, Lord. Spiritual wisdom, spiritual revelation, to be able to understand things that we couldn't get by ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, that you don't always strive with us, nor will you keep your anger forever. You have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. David's called the prophet, and I think by revelation, he got this understanding from the Lord in the heavenlies that the Lord's compassion, his mercy for us is higher than the heavens. That on the earth, He takes our sins and he removes them from us as far as the east is from the west. Then he takes it down to that most important building block of society, the family. And he says he's like a compassionate father who has compassion on his children. We just thank you tonight, Lord, that higher than the heavens, farther than the east is from the west, like a loving father, so have you dealt with us, Lord. You're mindful that our frame, that we are but dust. You remember that moment, that day when you put Adam together out of the dust and breathed into him the breath of life. And you're mindful of that. And therefore, you're compassionate and gracious to us. We just thank you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I have to have furniture. Thank you, Kurt. That's a real interesting look. What I did, had Erica put this together for me. I actually went through some Easter devotion type books, and I just robbed things from people, men and women, people who are contemporary, people like Spurgeon and George Mueller who aren't contemporary, and to just get a touch of what people thought, you know, 100 years ago or 200 years ago, and they're saying the same things. It was really cool and fun to look at. But they gave like one verse, and I said, no. So I went through and picked out verses to put with them, because when you hear the truth, the thing that makes the truth then more profound is to hear the truth again, hear it in an expounded way. So I'm going to try to do that for you real quickly. Then we're going to come to the Lord's table. Some years ago, I found a book by Anne Graham Lotz. That's who Anne was quoting, and that's Billy Graham's sister. And I was really taken with it, and so I used it a couple of Easters, and I thought of that as we were going through this. So it's not the whole book, but it's really good to hear. So just kind of soak this in. This is about making all our plans and all our focuses and all our purposes about Jesus. Do you want to know what's on the mind of God? Look at Jesus. Do you want to know the will of God? Then look at Jesus. Do you want to know what's in the heart of God? Then look at Jesus. Jesus is the exact revelation of what's on his mind and in his heart and in the will of God. Jesus is everything. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He is immortally gracious. He is imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizons of the globe. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the captive's ransom. He's the breath of life. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. What a wonderful statement. He stands in the solitude of himself. He is august and he is unique. He's unparalleled and he's He is undisputed and he's undefiled. He is unsurpassed and he's unshakable. He's the lofty idea of philosophy. He's the highest personal person in psychology. He is the supreme subject in literature. He is the unavoidable problem in the higher criticism. He is the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the cornerstone, the capstone, and the stumbling stone of all religion. He is the miracle of the ages. That's what he's like. The Word, it says, who was in the beginning with God, is a living person, but he's more. He's the living expression of what is on God's mind, but he's more. He's the living expression of what's in God's heart, but he's more. He's the very heart of the Almighty God of the universe laid bare for all to see. And he wants us to know him. Adam knew him as a beloved father. Eve knew him as the original homemaker. Noah knew him as the refuge from the storm. Abraham knew him as a friend. Moses knew him as a redeemer. Rahab knew him as the gracious Savior. David knew him as his shepherd. Elijah knew him as the Almighty. Daniel knew him as the lion tamer. Mary Magdalene knew him as the bondage breaker. Martha knew him as the promise keeper. Lazarus knew him as the resurrection and the life. Bartimaeus knew him as the light of the world. John knew him as the glorious king upon the throne. And we get to know him too. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. He forgives and he forgets. He creates and he cleanses. He restores and he rebuilds. He heals and he helps. He reconciles and he redeems. He comforts and he carries. He lifts and he loves. He is the God of the second chance, the fat chance, the slim chance, and the no chance. Jesus is everything. He discharges the debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the foundation of faith. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the gateway to glory. He's the highway to happiness. And he is everything. And he knows everything. He knows the small secrets of your heart, the unspoken dreams of your imagination, the unrevealed thoughts of your mind, the emotional shards of your feelings, the paralyzing fears for your future, the bitter resentments of your past, the joy, the heartaches, the pleasures, the pain, the successes, the failures, the honor, and the humiliations, the deeds, and the doubts. He knows all about you, inside and out, past, present, and future. But praise God for the blood of Jesus that's sufficient to cover all our sins, all of them, past, present, and future sins, big sins, small sins, medium-sized sins. It makes no difference. They're all under the blood of Jesus, and we are free to enjoy our forgiveness. He's the King of ages. That's an eternal king. He's the King of heaven. That's a universal king. He's the King of glory. That's a celestial king. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus is everything. Heaven has been opened. It is finished. To receive salvation, forgiveness of sin, acceptance by God, eternal life. You don't have to do more good works than bad works. You don't have to go to church every time the door opens. You don't have to count beads. You don't have to climb stairs to some statue. You don't have to lie on a bed of nails. You don't have to be religious. You don't even have to be good. It's finished. Salvation is free. Sin is forgivable. The price has been paid. Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. Jesus makes God visible and change possible and happiness attainable and resources ample and suffering understandable and heaven available. Jesus is everything. Hallelujah. So we're going to come to the Lord's table, and for all those things we just said, all of them amazingly true, but if one of those things really struck you, talk to him about that when you come and take the elements. Because the real issue isn't whether or not we got to say all the things exactly right and perfect. The real thing is they're all real and true. They're all really real and true. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll come and take the elements. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Thank you for all the ways you make yourself manifestly real and true to us. Holy Spirit, we want to be with you tonight. So we ask you to come and meet us. Ask you to come and join us as we remember, as the scriptures tell us to do, call back to mind who you are and what you've done and all the things that you have done for us and all the things that you want to do with us. Lord, I love the fact that each one that got up and expressed things today made it very clear. We can't do this by ourselves. This is not an achievable act. What we're talking about is the God that holds the whole universe together by his power. Come and connect him with us in the here and now. So we put ourselves before you and say, Lord, we have come to meet with you. Thank you for the declarations and proclamations of the truth of who you are. And now, Lord, would you actualize those things for us? In Jesus' name, amen. Billy, come and tell them what you just told me. This is how we're going to close. It's terrific. You need to come over in the middle, man.
Okay. Some of you may have heard, I'm not going to take credit for this. I listen to a lot of radio, haven't driven for so long. So one of my favorites that I like to listen to is Alistair Begg's. I saw a short video. Some of you may have seen this, where he's talking about the thief from the cross making his way to heaven. And the guy up there is looking to, what are you doing here? He said, I don't know. Well, how did you get? Well, I don't know. Well, do you understand our doctrine? Do you know, what salvation and all that? He said, I don't know nothing. Well, what makes you think you have the right to be here? The guy on the middle cross said I could come. Hallelujah. We all have that.
That's great, man.
When we put us instead of when somebody asks you what makes sure you're going to go, it wasn't me. I got nothing to do with it. It's the guy on the middle cross that did it all.
That's good. That's really good. That's better than anything I had, man. The reality of however we can say it is that it, and I love the fact that it's centered. He's right there in the middle, and he's in the middle of all, and he wants everybody to come, everybody. And so I'm going to close this with this. Think of someone in your family or in your friendship sphere that is either so far away from the Lord, having once walked with him, that they can't find their way back, or someone who's never come. Lord, the Bible says you came to seek and save those who are lost. And we're thinking of people, we're seeing people's their pictures in front of our eyes right now and saying, Lord, oh, what the world would be like for them and for us if only they knew you. If only they would turn or return to you. And Lord, I just can see names floating up as we're praying. We put those people before you. We name names before you right now and ask for you to release angels, release the Holy Spirit to draw them unto you so that maybe by before this time next year, some of those people will be right here with us doing what we're doing. But we bring that before you, Lord, as a token of our appreciation for what you've done. Come and make it meaningful for people who desperately need you. Thank you that you included us. We ask, Lord, for them to get included. And we just say, as this little prayer goes up, we're just giving you permission to put whatever before them is necessary to build a bridge to get them there, or to have a bridge out on the way to the road they're traveling so they can't go that way anymore. Would you cause people to come to yourself? We bless your name tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for coming, guys. We're done. You can go home now.